Welcome to the Clear Assembly of God podcast. As a church, we pursue Jesus by loving our community, building our faith, and sending our people. We never want you to miss out on what God is doing. So if you're at home, work, or somewhere in between, you can have access to the Sunday morning message. We'd love for you to stay connected with us by visiting us at clearassembly.org or searching Clear Assembly of God on social media. Thanks for being with us, and we really hope you enjoy this message.
A couple weeks ago, I went out with my friend Gerald. He was pretty excited about morel hunting. And I think that we were a little bit early for the gig. And then we had a good time walking and talking. And then yesterday, I'm mowing the grass. And lo and behold, I just about ran over the morel mushroom just right there. And I realized that I'd been mowing over them for years because I just, I never knew. And so because my friend Gerald and I, because we got skunked going out, I'm gonna give him this one from my yard and say, thank you, Gerald. Yeah, God bless you. So, hey, I was taught in kindergarten that when you bring something at class time that you wanna share, so I think you should share that with everybody, that everybody gets a little bite. So it's kind of interesting, like the thought that I mowed over the morel, which is the opposite of what Jesus wants us to do. We want to mow our grass, right? But we don't want to mow over anything. And we're kicking off this new series today, The Race of Life. And specifically, we want to rise up, and we're pressing into that great scripture in Isaiah 40 that calls us to rise up on eagle's wings. And it's an image, it's full of beautiful imagery about our walk with Jesus and our presence with him. And so it happens in our lives that when we break open scripture, the Lord kind of touches and ministers, and it's really connecting. And that happened with me recently when I went to Isaiah chapter 40, and I was there kind of just in my normal kind of reading through scripture, and I go to Isaiah 40. And some of the things that were happening in the background, so these both are prayer requests and praise for you, but so Lisa's 90-year-old father has COVID, and he was in the hospital and having complications of COVID, and then he got sent home, and then he went back in again and got sent home. And so actually we have our network council, and Lisa's going to Chicago from network council that is in Grand Rapids, so be praying for him. But literally when he was in the hospital, our 4-year-old grandson Theo was also in the hospital and on oxygen, and they're running all these tests to figure out what's going on with the little guy. And he's doing a lot better, but we want to keep praying for him. They did the sepsis protocol with Theo, which it was like, okay, like this is like the real deal. And I started pastoring in 85. I've never heard of Kawasaki disease, but they were checking him for Kawasaki disease. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go research it, because how many know when you're praying for people, if you research it medically, it can take your mind in places that you don't want to go. But basically, in the midst of having those two generations, the 4-year-old and 90-year-old in the hospital, Isaiah 40, God used that to minister to me and really felt his presence. And that's, I lead out that way because that's how God's word is, and that's how his spirit is. He wants to touch us and minister to us and bless us. And the blessing flows, and we obey our way into the greater blessing of the Lord. So you'll hear folks, you know, they know that they're running from God, but they still want God to bless them. And certainly over the long period of time, that's really not how that works. So why don't you nudge someone and say, God is really moving today. Will you do that? I'm watching you guys to nudge somebody and tell them that God is moving today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And I thank you for this great section in Isaiah 40. And Lord, that you put it on my heart to talk about this series looking at the race of life and on eagle's wings today. And Lord God, we pray, Lord, your word is alive. It's always alive. And we pray that we would cooperate with your spirit, how your spirit is moving to receive, Lord, the word coming alive to our hearts, and that you would do change in us from the inside out, and you would do something powerful, Lord God. And Father, we give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And so the first thing I want to stress, and you've got sermon notes in your bulletin, and they're on the screen as well. The first thing we want to go to is pray for this world. Let's say that together. Pray for this world. And how many know that we need to be praying for the world in which we live? So look with me at Isaiah 40 and verse 18. This is kind of one of those scriptures that really hit me with everything that we see happening in our culture. It was like, wow, Lord, you, like, this was written for this time, but it sure was written for our time right now. So Isaiah 40 and verse 18, to whom then will you compare God, and what will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. So this is describing our culture in so many respects. And so we may have this video clip that we want to roll, kind of reaching out to the tech guys, that there's a video clip from Rutgers University. And I say may because if we don't, we don't. But I want to kind of back up and think about this. So what's happening? I'm asking us to pray for the world. And this is comparing God with a person coming together to craft for idols. And I think that totally describes the culture in which we live on so many levels. It describes it. And let me talk about it this way. So we see these, whatever you want to call them, we see protests on college campuses all over our country. And UCLA, the university called in the police because the protest was getting out of hand and getting violent. Those that are coming in to protest, they're setting up camps. They have tents, they have plywood, all this kind of stuff. And the strategy is to be right directly in the middle of campus. That's an intentional strategy to disrupt what's happening. Some schools have canceled finals. They're reacting in all kind of different ways. Now, it's appropriate to have a conversation about what you believe about the Middle East right now. It's appropriate to have that conversation. What's not okay is to shut down college campuses so that you can get your word out there. What I want to reference here is what happened at Rutgers, and I'm thinking, yes, we have video, or no, we do not. We do not have video there. So that's okay. We'll just talk about it. So on the campus of Rutgers, what happened is there's protesters in the same kind of mindset that has been happening on college campuses all over. And what the students did this. The students came together, and the protesters, it's a mixture, right? It's some students, but also there's activists that show up on campus and stir the pot. What happened in Rutgers is students came, all students, and they sang the national anthem, and they said, USA, USA, USA. I just thought that was a great reaction to what is, in essence, like this particular group taking over their campus. Then what happened on Rutgers is those that made the protests left. And it was very civil, and there was no violence. How many believe we shouldn't have violence on our campuses, right? So let me back up from it for a moment to say that this verse speaks to that situation. because they're influential planners, people who represent, and is everyone protesting an anti-Semite? No, but when they're shouting from the river to the sea, that's calling for the total destruction of Israel. And I would ask you the question, if that were directed to any other ethnicity or any other nation or any other group of people, you would see a totally different reaction. People would get fired. All kinds of stuff would be happening. I think what Rutgers did is, what the students did there is great, how they responded. And when I say that this verse applies, here's how it applies. I think you have skilled people essentially following an idol that are influencing others to do their bidding, which is why it's so organized. And the research has shown that about 60% of the protesters are students, which means another 40% are coming in that are basically professional agitators. So yes, let's sing the national anthem and let's support our country. And I love what Rutgers did. So when I say pray for the world, and I'm unashamedly saying that we should pray against hatred in any form that it takes. And when there's, you know, it's one thing to defend, yeah, we can cheer for that. We should pray against hatred in any form, and we should bless people of all ethnicities in all nations, and that's the spirit of God. And so this view that comes out to attack is not God's heart. I want to reference, I'm sure you were thinking about what the great Russian writer Dostoevsky said last night. You were probably laying in bed thinking about that. He says it this way: the best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to make sure he never knows he's in prison. I want to read that again because I think it's really profound, and I think it applies to the situation that we're in. The best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to make sure he never knows he's in prison. So yeah, I think there's an influential group of people that are skillful in crafting an idol. And in fact, I want to reference then two other students. One student was interviewed, "Why are you protesting?" "I'm not really sure. Some of my friends told me this was happening, and I thought it would be a good thing to come down here and protest." Just let that sink in for a minute. Another student interviewed said, "The students, when they protest, have always been right, and history shows that the students are always right." Think about those two statements, all right? Protesting here, I don't know why. And this idea that's basically, it's making the students God. So we can respectfully disagree with anybody's opinion, right? Do it in a respectful, kind-hearted way. So pray for our nation. But I think when we think about this verse in particular, kicking off Isaiah 40, that we've got to kind of come back to examining our own heart. And that if we love something more than Jesus, if something is more important to us than Jesus, then at some level we've kind of created an idol around that. We're going to kind of pass over that Jeremiah section, but I do want to hit the bold, because Jeremiah is kind of saying exactly the same thing. In the bold, it says, "They fasten it with hammer and nail it so it will not totter. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good." So both of these prophets talking about folks crafting idols for the people to follow, but it's contrasting it with God, that God is great and God is good all the time, and all the things that we celebrate. The second is renew your love for the awesome true God. Let's say that together. Renew your love for the awesome true God. Can I say that I think there's never been a more important time for us to be doing that, to be renewing our love for God. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 21. And what happens now is this series of questions that the Holy Spirit inspiring Isaiah to write, and it's building climactically to what is coming. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? And then it begins to describe only what can be attributed to God, right? This is only about God. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and rulers and the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground that he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. So one of my prayers, it's not about the people of these nations, it's about rulers that Lord, your will be done. And what I mean by that is, let's pray that they come to Jesus. I'm praying that President Putin in Russia has a come to Jesus experience, right? And truly is changed and comes away from the hatred that he's espousing and all this kind of stuff. If he refuses that, Lord, you can have him replaced. You can raise up somebody that's more in line. And that's the way I pray over every dictatorial person. President Xi in China has made himself president for life. He is no friend to freedom. He's all about China. Lord, you can remove him, or you can bring him to Jesus. And similarly, and I'm just going to reference Iran, because they're basically behind the hostilities in the Middle East that we see. But reference them this way. So in 1992, the Iranians martyred all kinds of pastors, Christian pastors serving the people. And in fact, the largest, so here's the great news, that Iran has the fastest growing church percentage-wise in the world, and has had for some time. And Iranians are coming to Jesus by hospitality and by dreams about Jesus. Alongside that, in 92, they martyred all kinds of pastors. They martyred, you can research it, it's a historical fact, martyring an assemblies pastor that was pastored the largest church in the country. So that's that kind of thinking we want to pray against, and pray that God would do what is stated here if they in fact won't turn to him. So it goes back to this contrast between the awesomeness of God. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and his mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. And so just think about that. And we can be grateful that we live in a place where people go to from far away to go on vacation. Isn't that kind of cool? So I love where we live. And I also love getting outside in it and enjoying it. In particular, it's only happened to me once, but I remember being up north and seeing the northern lights, right? And what a joy and awesome thing that is. And so God created all of that. And I think that's one of the best places we can go when there's some free time, to whatever you enjoy, to enjoy the beauty of what God does. But notice some of the descriptions here. He stretches out the heavens, right? He calls the stars by name. There is none that is his equal. The third here is worship the everlasting creator, and one kind of flows out of the other, because now it's calling us to worship the creator. Isaiah 40, 27 and 28. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And I want to pause there for a second, but let's read the next phrase first. My cause is disregarded by my God. I think everybody feels that sometime, that my way is hidden from the Lord, or my cause is disregarded. And what we would say is, God doesn't care. That's more how we would say it in our culture, that God doesn't care or he doesn't notice. I kind of love that Footprints in the Sand poem. You know, it's old, it's been around a long time. But if you know the poem, you know that when there's the two sets of footprints and then there's the one, and the guy's saying, Lord, why is there just one? And that's when I carried you. And so we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And I think that every person can have the thought in your head that God doesn't care, or you know, why is my way hidden from the Lord? And Isaiah, that's the beauty of Scripture, that the Scripture draws in basically every conceivable human emotion and doesn't shrink back from tackling the tough questions. And this is a tough question. But the reality as believers is that God is often more active when you're struggling the most in your life. And we kind of have to hold on to that and take it to the bank, because then we walk by faith and not by sight. And so that when our feelings are down, we sang it today, right? Speaking Jesus over anxiety and depression. It's not just a song, it's how God would want us to live. And so when we feel that tug in our heart that my way is hidden from the Lord, this is really hard, we need to go back to the fact that we walk by faith and not by sight. And maybe sing that song over yourself. But find those things that keep us. The other part of that is your greatest struggle is the seed for your greatest ministry. I just want us to think about that again. That your greatest struggle is the seed for your greatest ministry. Because you can say, hey, I've walked it, I've lived it. There was a young man that was in a horrific fire, was burned on like 80% of his body. They do the skin grafts, you know, so like, unlike some others, the organs weren't all damaged for him, but he was kind of giving up. And the medical folk are really worried, really concerned. And so, and nobody could reach him. A guy who, strong believer, had been through the exact same thing like 20 years earlier. In fact, had the facial kind of thing where his face was scarred and disfigured, lots of plastic surgery. He comes and says to the young man, what are you doing? You know, God is good, and I've been through exactly what you've gone through, and I'm here to tell you that it's okay, and God is with you, and he'll lead you through this. And the young man rallied, and he lived. The thing about scars is that there's one who has the scars for you. Right? He bore scars for you. And so if we flip it and we look at our scars in a totally different sense, it's not, Lord, that you're hiding yourself from me, as Isaiah is talking about. It's really Romans 8:28 that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And if we can see past the hurt, either when we're right in it would be the best time, but even after it happens, Lord, who am I going to bless? Lord, who are you going to use me to touch that my scars can bless another person? A whole different way of looking at all of it. And so, and notice then, it goes back to these questions leading climactically to what God is saying. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And it kind of goes back to that creation thing and lifting up that we're to worship him as creator. You know how when you want to talk to somebody about a situation, and many times as a pastor, I've led folks to legal aid. If you qualify income wise, you can get legal aid on stuff and not pay the $500 an hour kind of rate. But I want us to tie in this. You want to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about, who's been there, who's done it. When the Pharisees, Sadducees, they press into Jesus And they're not all of them, but many of them are consistently kind of taking him to task. And so in John 8:58, you know, we have this statement where they say to him, are you greater than our father Abraham? Look at what Jesus says, John 8:58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Isn't that a great statement? Before Abraham was born, I am. And it's showing that God and Christ transcend all time in history. And so, yeah, we're going through something. Let's just not sing the song, I Speak Jesus, but let's live it and let's run to him. Amen. How important is this belief in creation? I want to illustrate it this way. A young lady, she's going to her high school prom. She's pregnant. She has totally psychologically repressed this pregnancy that she shows zero, but she's very pregnant. It's a sad story, but I'm trying to make a point with the sad story. She goes to prom. She delivers her baby in the bathroom, and she dumps her baby in the garbage, and she goes out and dances at prom. I even hesitate to use a story like that because it's just so profoundly horrific and sad. But what I would say is there's a connection between those who essentially preach that, you know, all of this is a cosmic experiment and there's no creation and we're all just on this planet trying to get along. There's a connection between that as a foundation then to go to this way of thinking that nothing really matters. Nothing I matter does anyway. There's no accountability. So why not just throw my baby in the garbage? I think there's a connection between those. Now, there's a lot of steps, right? There's a lot of steps to connect that. But the first step is there's no creation. If there's no creation, then likely there's no God. If there's no God, there's no accountability. And it goes right to what we live in our culture, that what you feel is the pinnacle of everything. There was a... I hope you don't make your living this way, and please forgive me if you do. There was a recent study that showed that influencers, I believe it was a $19 billion industry. And if you don't know about influencers, then that's okay. But the point is that folk who, they're all over social media representing stuff and describing things. And in particularly, big corporate America comes to the influencers and will pay big bucks if you have all kinds of followers and you're gonna represent their product. In fact, it's growing as a way of marketing that is somewhere on the order of a third of, particularly when they're trying to put a new thing out there, a third of the dollars spent in marketing going to influencers. If you step back from that, what are they valuing? That the most important thing is the most followers you can get on social media. Remember how we started by saying that skilled workers who basically make an idol, and that, now maybe you're influencing for good, like that's a totally different conversation. But at the root of all of that is feelings are held up as the most important thing. See how that works? So let's worship the everlasting creator. The fourth is draw strength from him. So Isaiah continues, and it's building toward verse 30 and 31. He does not grow tired or weary. Now, remember, I start out by saying that Lisa's dad with COVID and Theo in the hospital, and we're like really far away from both of them, and you want to be there. And I felt weary and tired in the moment. And literally, I'm going through Isaiah 40 in my regular reading, and the Spirit of God speaking to me that he does not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to who? He gives strength to who? And increases the power of who? Yeah, ever feel weary or weak? You know? So what we don't need, and alongside the influencer industry, the self-help industry is huge and massive, and I don't have dollar amounts to give you. And that's, some of that is really good. But some of it is also lacking in the sense is if you do all kind of self-help stuff and you're a follower of Jesus, but self-help is the thing, well, maybe we haven't gone to Jesus when we're weak and weary. And so let's purpose to do that. So it's kind of a, what's your foundation and what is your source? And I'm standing here before you and I love what I do. I pastor wonderful people and I'm excited about your life. But I'm also just being really transparent today that Isaiah 40 ministering to me and both Lisa's mom and Theo are doing a lot better, but keep praying for them. I think another little indication that God is wanting to speak to us today. And so my sweet wife, she gets on her phone the verse of the day. And I want to say and do that, but also go on our app and there's all kinds of great opportunities for you. So she's walking out the door. This is the verse of the day. You want to hear it? And she's got her cute little Lisa smile going. And this was the verse of the day. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And it's right here in your notes. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in what? And weakness, and we don't really like weakness, you know. One of the kind of things of American culture is winning and strength, and those aren't bad things. But notice what's stated here. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. And just reading that list, St. Paul is kind of tiring, and I don't want to do all that. Anybody want to do all that Paul stuff? Like, yeah, send me some insults, hardships, persecution, difficulties. I think we say, no, let's just skip over that. But in fact, they can come and they take us to that deeper place for when I am weak, then I am strong. So, right in downtown Clare, they're showing at the theater, Unsung Hero. Pretty rare that I recommend a movie. I highly recommend it to you. Just kind of referencing the trailer, I'm not spoiling the movie at all, but the guys for the wonderful group for King and Country, they're Australian, and the trailer shows you that they come from Australia to Nashville, and they have nothing. And God just blesses them and does this awesome story. It's a great family movie. It's a great lift up Jesus movie. It's not really preachy. It's the story. But it's also a great marriage movie. So hold hands and kiss a little in the back row. Right? You know? Go for it. But it's a great example of the fact that in our weakness, he is strong. And it was, in its opening, it was the second most dollars for the in that week of opening. So, and I believe we ought to support those kind of movies, and if not, see it when you can live stream it. But I just want to say this is the real deal, drawing strength from him. And I don't always do this perfectly, but it's what I bank my life on, basically. That, Lord God, we come to you and you're with us and you're walking with us and you're with us when we don't feel like it and when we do. So, number five is not mow down the morels, but rise on eagle's wings. And this, it's got to be like one of my all-time favorite and sort of a theme verse for me. And the whole section, there were all those questions. Have you not heard? Do you not know? And then that's repeated again. It's repeated twice, those questions. And it's all building now to verses 30 and 31. So rise on eagle's wings. Verse 30 there, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. Anybody kind of relate to that? you grow tired and you stumble and fall. And then there's the contrast. But those who hope in the Lord. And I just want to pause there for a second because if you know your Bible, that word hope, what other words has it been translated by? You tell me, what has it been translated by, that word hope? Those who hope in the Lord, trust, wait, okay? And so you see that one, and when you see that happening, it means that, in this case, it's a Hebrew word that is hard to get the exact kind of sense of it in English. And the fact is, all three of them are conveyed in the Hebrew word, to hope, trust, and to wait. It's a powerful thing. So it's tired and weary, or we hope, trust, and wait on the Lord. And notice, they will renew their strength. Isn't that good? Anybody have so much strength you just can't take anymore? Like, Lord, decrease your strength in my life. I don't think we would talk that way. Eagles are kind of fascinating creatures. They can see so far, and they build. You guys tell me where do eagles build their nests? High, very high, right? Very high. And when they hunt, it's like, you know, like they're well, it's probably more like this, straight down, and they're grabbing whatever it is. I haven't seen this, I don't think, with my own eyes, but eagles fishing, grabbing a fish out of the lake. What a kind of bad day for the fish, but an awesome thing to see what eagles do, what they do. Among flying creatures, they're kind of the opposite of the hummingbird. The hummingbird is a wild flapper, right? The eagle waits and waits for the wind. And they're not really wild flappers. They just spread out those great big wings. And it's basically, you know, mankind figured out how to fly by studying birds. And that's a picture. There's lift there. And so that's what happens. And so the scripture here, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There's just so much that is there. So don't be a flapper for Jesus. You know, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, rather. Let's wait on the Holy Spirit. Let's wait, let's hope, and let's trust. And I kind of think it's that sequence of those words, that when we wait, when we hope, and we trust, we trust that God showed us his word when things don't go exactly like we thought. We wait when we're waiting on the wind of the Spirit. They would be more like that soaring eagle than like the flapping hummingbird. Each of them is kind of amazing, and each of these little phrases, that soaring on eagle's wings, running and not growing weary, and walking and not faint. When the Lord is in it, sometimes God will send you to running. And maybe that's fast forwarding your spiritual journey. And I qualified that by saying when the Lord is in it, because sometimes we run, we're just out there running, you know, like Forrest Gump. We're just out there running. Don't get the crazy Forrest Gump hair though. But then there's, we'll walk and not faint. And I think that's where most of us, God is asking us to live. Lord, I'm taking a step for you. Chuck Swindoll wrote the book, Three Steps Forward, Two Steps Back. Long as we're going forward, we're going to walk and not be weary. I remember kind of being called to come alongside the volunteer fire department that was in the town I was serving in, and we rode with the guys. I wasn't on the fire department, but we were bringing water and food to the volunteer firefighters, and it came on the intercom, man down, and that the fire was coming toward. The guy was rescued. He was okay. But part of the picture of this is we want to be on the run and in the hike, but not down. See how that works? I kind of want to close this out this way. So I had this kind of complex relationship with my dad, and he's the one who led me to Christ. And he could also be occasionally violent. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just describing what happened. But when he came to Jesus and pointed me to Jesus and my our family, in essence, and we enjoyed this beautiful relationship. And then I'm starting to run track, and he was down south, they say, like white on rice, like he was totally in and all about that. When he divorced the third time, he chose really that his walk with Jesus really suffered. And I would say he was kind of a lost sheep, right? But when he would come to running meets, this was just so cool. So you can picture me, I'm out there doing my thing as a high schooler, and he's not really serving the Lord, but he's at that meet and he's super emotional when he does it, and he's shouting, "You will run and not be weary. You will run and not be weary. You will run and not be weary." And it was like, I mean, all these years later, it's right here, right? It was really cool. And it was like God was still working in him, that he's quoting scripture to his son while his son is running, even though he's not serving Jesus. And by the way, that shows us, like, let's just love people, you know. Let's understand that people struggle. In fact, it says, you know, in James, it says we all stumble in many ways, right? So people stumble and they struggle in life. And let's just love people. Let's not be judgmental toward people. When you're close to someone, you want to come alongside and say, "I love you. I'm concerned for you. I see this." If you have that kind of relationship, go for it. But don't judge them. Don't kick them to the curb. Don't defriend them on Facebook. Don't do all that stuff. My father didn't do that. He was shouting at me to run and not be weary. You know what? I believe that those that have gone on to heaven, that are in your loved ones, I think they're doing that too. I'm not talking about communicating to the dead. I think those that have gone into heaven have an awareness of things that God is doing in this life. And they're shouting to you, "You'll run and not be weary." And so draw strength from that and draw courage from that. So we want to pray together. And I feel like a message like this, that there's kind of, you know, I believe in my heart, because God put this message on my heart, I believe that he's speaking to us through it. Let's stand together, and Lisa's gonna continue. She'll be kind of stroking those keys about speaking Jesus. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we cry out to you, and we pray your blessing on your church. And Lord God, I thank you and I pray you speak to us now. And Lord God, when we come together, that you would move powerfully in our lives. And friends, you're here today and you say, "God, give me guidance about the culture in many ways, following after people skillfully crafting an idol for them to follow. And Lord, I want to be a person of truth and love and grace and justice and righteousness." And you say, "Lord, I'm concerned about things that I see, and I don't want to be a judgmental, angry Christian that doesn't help anything. But I want to pray, and I want to hear your voice, and I want to speak the truth in love. and that's your heart's cry, and you want God to lead you more fully in these ways, and just lift up a hand high. That's your heart's cry. Lord, speak to me about those who desperately need you in this confused, crazy world in which we live. Yes. Others here, you identify with the fact that God does not grow weary, and he calls on us to that we'll run and not grow weary, and that we can walk and not faint. And you say, I've had some things in my life that are, life's kind of knocked me around some, and Lord, help me grow deeper in you, that I can do what Scripture says here and to draw upon your strength. And that's your heart's cry. Just lift a hand high in the house today. That's calling out to you, yes. Then others, God is speaking to you about waiting on the Lord, to hope, to wait, hope and trust. And he holds up for us this beautiful picture of rising on eagle's wings, which I believe is something that all God's people ought to aspire to. And he leads us back to the truth that it's by waiting, it's by hoping, it's by trusting that the rising on eagle's wings comes. And Lord, meet me today. Change something in my heart. Help me to do what the Scripture says, to rise on eagle's wings in you. Lift a hand high. That's your heart's cry. I want to pray for us. And we kind of, as a culture, we have altars open, and you can make an altar where you are. But I just want to pray for us here today. Father, we see things happening all over our world that, Lord, God, cause us concern. And Lord God, I feel like you spoke to me, Lord, powerfully from Isaiah 40, that people are seeking that person, that skillful crafter of an idol. And in many cases, taking people prisoner that they don't even see, they don't even really understand what they're doing. God, we pray that we could be burdened by you with the burden from on high to pray for our world and to speak the truth in love and to always, Lord, always be kind and loving, but also stand for righteousness and justice. And God, help us to do that with a clear voice. And we pray over all of these campuses, Lord. We pray for leaders, Lord. We pray for protection over law enforcement, Lord God. We pray that we pray against violence on campuses, God, and we pray that, Lord God, there could, Lord, you would embrace a civil discussion about ideas, but not taking a campus hostage, in essence, and not resorting to violence. And we pray against that, Lord God. Lord, we pray also that many said, Lord, just having that desire to, Lord, to wait and to hope and to trust in you and to rise on eagle's wings. And we pray that blessing over your people today. And also, Lord God, that we'd run and not grow weary, that we walk and not faint. And all of us are dealing with things, Lord God. And let us see that weariness isn't a bad thing, that acknowledging weakness is actually a strength, and that in our weakness, you are made strong. Father, we give you praise and honor, and we delight in you, and we thank you for your faithfulness.
We hope you enjoyed this message, and we would love to hear your story on how this ministry has changed your life. Please email us at office@clareaog.com. If you're in the area, join us on Sunday for a full experience. If you can, please leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe so you can catch our latest message. And remember, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.